Come on and shout hallelujah, hallelujah.
Yahweh.
Come on, Israel, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah for God's grace.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For mighty is Yah. Precious is His Habushiyah. Yeshua. Come on, hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Who is by the greatness of your excellence, we gather in the precious name of Yahshua the Lamb. For in that name we find the Yashak, the salvation of our Abba, the excellence of your blessings upon Israel. So on this Shabbat, grant unto Israel the Shabbaton of Reshaphat in Yahshua the Lamb, and that we rejoice in this Shabbat. We ask you to bless all the heroes today. Especially we want to pray as we gather for our precious sister Hawkins. You bless her, Yah, and strengthen her. All of our friends, sister Velma there in Louisiana. For her letters and her gifts are great and kind. Her words are so inspirational, Yah. I pray for her strength. All of our faithful givers, those that are kind to the works here, strengthen Elder Bynum today as we ask your strength upon Brother Michael, Sister Michaela, Brother Alexandria. Bless the house of Israel. All those that have written and called, those that have questions and those that have doubt, cause their ears to be open the day that they may hear. We ask all things in Yahshua's mighty name. Israel cried hallelujah. 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 Look to your neighbor and say, my friend, this word you must hear today. Shalom. We must hear what Yah says. You may be seated. I delight richly and greatly in the great promises of Almighty Yah, to the revealed power, the excellence of truth. For there is no other revelation but by Yahshua the Lamb, the promise of Yah, Israel shall prevail. And the reason Israel shall prevail is because Yah prevails. There is no weapon formed against him can deduce him or bring him lower, because he is the excellent one. He is the Almighty. He is the Abba. He is the creator of all things. For he has created all things for his pleasure, for his desire. We as a seeds, this is a generation, and I must say it, and I say it to the shame of this generation. There's a generation that the scripture calls Hala. There's a weak, it is a sickly, there's a beggary generation, one of disease. The conscience cannot absorb the things of Yah. It's like a body that's dying and is rotting. It cannot absorb the nutrients that it's needed to supply the love, the heart with strength. And there is only one thing that strengthens the love of Israel, and that is the perfect order of Torah, the light truth. And light always brings about a different attitude and a different perception and prospect on things. For the light shines to grant unto us the vision to see. And that is what Yahshua is. He has granted unto us this light, that we may see the Abba and see clearly who he is and understand the purpose of Yahweh. But because we are such a weakly people, we are so hala, we are weak. Our minds are diseased, they're corrupt, they have not the strength of Yah. We are an afflicted people. Our minds are wounded by the smallest minute things, whereby there is no healing among Israel. So this is a kala, a generation that is very weak. And the reason it is weak, because we will not obey and do what Yah commands us. We are an obstinate, stubborn generation. I was thinking as the music was playing, And say, Yah gives us such simple directives that He commands us to obey. We are such a defiant people, we don't want to obey Him. When we see someone like Brother Yosef, that kind of disturbs people at times. It doesn't take all that. Well, the scripture says to do just that. We have been brought up under this false paradigm. It is an architect or this design, this prototype that we follow. It has been corrupt. From its conception, it was a corrupt prototype for us to follow. And so our condition or the shaping of our minds have been based upon a paradigm that is false. It is full of disillusion. It is not based upon the principles of the philosophy of Torah that Yah teaches unto Israel. And so we see things that are contrary to our emotional absorbance, then we just have a distaste for those things. And it is a sign of a weak people, those that are weak, those that have not the strength of Yah. Now that's what I'm going to touch on today. And I want to show us something in the book, but I want to read this. What it says, as Brother Yosef was dancing, I say, Yah, your scripture is so plain what you command us. You did not say wait till some kind of damnable spirit moves upon us. You know, when Moshe came down off the mountain and they had built that calf unto Yah, that calf unto their God, then they was dancing and doing every kind of thing. We're such a defiant people unto Yah. And to hell with your little childlike, immature emotions, because they mean nothing to Yah. And so we see one progressively, if that's all they know. Brother Yosef, if I die today, you continue to dance before Yah. For that is one thing that brings great honor unto Him. He did not tell you to move for some spirit like these perverts in these whole houses, that everyone is moving their feet to the music. We only get a move when we hear the musical instruments. That's not what Yah says. I want to read this before I get into the depth and the meat of the simplicity of this message today. Hallelujah. But I want to correct Israel for our falsehood and for our uncommittal, unbridled desire to please Yah. We are so superficial. And we see someone that is real, it shines upon our superficiality. And we just don't like it. And that's the state of the mind of the people of Yah. I'm not here to pacify us. We are ahead of a great battle that is so great that it has not been known in the annals of time to man what we are about to face. And that is the truth. They are going to bring down the nations as they are doing. They're going to even cause the poor to be poor. And they are already poor. People cannot even survive today. I looked at our electric bill. It is $2,600. That's 2 weeks of the offerings plus what the brothers work and they bring in here. That takes half. And not along the gas that is spent for frivolous things. And so they're going to bring the nations down. They're going to bring them down. We are people, we are so caught up into ourselves, into our petty emotions. We cannot see the broad spectrum of things. We're such a weak, juvenile people, and we resent when someone tells us that that's our attitude. And yet we hear it. But it does not bring about this change, this metamorphosis. It causes us to grow from a child that we can be sustained by the meat of the message of truth, the meat of the word of Yah. We're still children. We like milk. We don't want the things that bear down on us and show us the things that are totally defiant to the Torah of Yah. I want you to hear this. I will not tell you where it's at. I will simply read it, because this is what Yah commands unto His house. He says this so simple and so plain, and I'm going to read this to show us why we cannot do it. He says to Phereth, praise Yahweh. Sing unto Yahweh a new song, and the song should come out of our love. It should be one of sincerity and purity. The words are not some kind of orchestrated word. It is a word that flow from the melody of the witness of Yahshua the Lamb. This is what Yahweh commands as he speaks unto Israel. He says, sing this song of renewing, of life, of the high of Yah. That's what he commands us to do. We are dead. And the reason we are dead because sin is the permanent factor in the minds of the people today. We are a self-centered, egotistical, wicked generation. You know what has done you wrong, Jezebel? You hypocrite of a man. You've done Yah wrong. And so we got this false analogy of our worth. You're nothing but a pile of funky, filthy, stench of clay. And you stink if you don't wash your buttocks. That's what you are. Not much value to a pile of rotten mess. It's the mercies of Yah. This is mercies. It was extended unto a vile, degenerate people. We think because we have a certain insight that that gives us valuable. Like hell. He says, and praise Yah, and praise Yahweh in the congregation of his kiddushim. Those that are delivered and set apart to esteem him, to bring shahar. We do it when we hear it repetitively over and over. It is a false paradigm that we have. We are always reactionary instead of just doing what Yah commands us. It's easy to do it now. It's easy to utter that. And yet what he instructs us to do, we find it so difficult to do. He said, let Israel, as Deacon Horn reminded us, even Elder Wyman touched on some of the things that Deacon Horn had preached on, even not being here. That how Israel prevailed, it is truly, Israel truly means Yahweh prevails. It is the power of Yah in Israel that prevails. That's why there is no weapon that formed against Israel can prosper. That is why he said, your name shall not be Yaakov, it shall be Israel. Yahweh has prevailed. He has imparted into Israel the substance that shall sustain them. And that is the power of Yahshua for Israel. Not based upon this false paradigm of this theatrical performance of our own thoughts and our own intellectual process. But it's based upon a Torah of prevailing against sin, the powers of hell. He means what he says. This vile generation of hypocrisy, he says to Phereth, praise him. He said, let there be praises from the congregation of his kiddushim. And the reason we cannot do that, because we are not truly the remnant of the seed of Israel. He said, let the children of Zion be joyful in their King. So if we are of Zion, he said, let them be joyful in their King. There's a reason for that. Who made all things? Yah made everything. What can you offer him but that which he has already made? He gives you breath. He gives you life. Something is dysfunctional about us. When you will go to see a man that will perform a little procedure on you, and you will rejoice and be happy and say, I feel so much better. I thank you so much. You sit here in this hypocrisy, and yet when it comes to Yah, did he cause breath to flow in your vessel this morning? You know, we do it now, brothers and sisters, but there's a falseness to it. Because that we said, when I think about my Abba, in all that he has done for me, my nephesh rejoices greatly. Well, see, it's one thing that I do know, we don't think about him. Because if we did, then we'll rejoice exceedingly greatly before him. There are some of you that are dead as hell. No life, no pressing of Yah in you. You got time to murmur and to complain. You got time to bring bitter accusations against Yah. Yet you can't see the inward workings of corruption within you. And that's the reason why. Oh, what I lay out today is all line upon line. It will all tie in. I don't need a refresher course when I get up here. For Yah's going to correct and cleanse the house, Israel. That's what he's going to do. He's going to rid. He's going to cast out. He said, let Zion be joyful in their king. He said, let them praise Yahweh, his name. The name that is excellent. The name that is above all names. The name that is a powerful name. The name where salvation is only found. Now, this is what the book says. Let them praise his name in the dance. In the dance. Let them praise his name in the dance. Not for some kind of damned spirit of your lust to fall upon you. He said, let them praise his name in the dance. What the dance unto Yah. We're such a stiff-necked, stubborn, uncircumcised generation. He means what he says. Let them praise his name in the dance. Now there's a dance unto Yah. And it comes from the joyfulness that flows out of Tizayan. And because you have not the joy of Yah, you cannot dance. The reason you don't have it because your mind, the paradigm of your mind is based upon false practices. It's not based upon the legitimacy and the legality of the truth, the Imat, the Torah of Yah. And so we present this false kind of adulation for Yah. And he despises it. The shame of Israel. To the shame. What I think about when I just think about the Tav of Yah. What I think about what Yah has done, and my mind is constantly there. I don't care whether I'm working to build, whether I'm in the bean field or the weed field. It makes no difference at all. My thoughts, my mind, my purpose. There's no other reason to live. My thoughts are upon him. I don't care what I'm thinking about. He is at the forefront of that thought. And it caused my heart to weep and to rejoice. And think about the letter Sister Hawkins wrote. I intended to tell Sister Roberts to bring it and read it. She didn't notice that I basically turned away from her when she was reading it. Because my heart was smitten. Out of all the hardship, she cries, I will press on. You're not going through hardship. You always ill about nothing. I watch a sister that's just need a place to cover her head. This wicked, fat America, you're coming down. Yeah. It's not my prayer. That is your word. I don't have to pray it. I will not pray against the will of God. She's coming down. My heart was so smitten, she had one step. Tell Pastor Roberts when I get a step. I will write him next. I think about the hardness of this generation. And yet the sister has something to dance and to shout about because she waits for the promises of Yah. And we sit before Yah, our bellies full of hypocrisy and our flesh gorging on everything that we can imagine because we're greedy and we're wicked. And we don't want someone to tell us. We don't want the message to come to tell us our conditions. We won't prophesy smooth things to us. So we gather in our congregation of prophets and prophetess to tell us that others are, they're slighting you and they're not treating you right. You will go to hell in your hypocrisy. I will not repent. The reproof unto a rebellious house and a people that emphasize the creature more than they emphasize Yah. He tells us to dance before him in the congregation. And he said, let them sing praises unto Yahweh. He said, with the timbrel and with the harp. That's right, my brother. He says, with the timbrel and with the harp. With the timbrel and with the harp. That's what he commands us. What can you offer him? Mount Everest? You don't own it. He owns everything. Tell me, what can you offer him? But submissiveness and obedience under what he commands us. That's what makes the heart, the love of Yah, rejoice. We find that a massive struggle within. As elders said to us concerning Shaul, there's a law within me. And there's a reason there's a law within you that strive diametrically against Yah. That's why the paradigm of this thing, this prototype, must be eradicated. It must be destroyed. And we must see the emphasis and the power, the building and the strength of the Torah of Yah within Yisrael and the love of Yisrael. And so that's what we can do, the things that he commands us. The parable of the son, one said, I will not do when he went. He said, but my avat is great to me. He's been kind to me. And as he went, the tears began to flow from his left. He began to think of the magnificent times that he had with his avat and the abundance that had been showered upon him. And so as he went, although he left in abstinence and rebellious, as he went, his love was changed, and the tears began to flow. And the more he began to step away, he began to dance and think, how blessed I am to have an avat of this nature. And the one like us that are full of hypocrisy, we said, we will do it. And yet as he went, he began to be caught up in his own activities. In his own little superficial world. In our own little petty cares and our little childlike emotions. Whereby he could not do the thing that he had promised to do. He could not perform that which would have brought unto him a great privilege. We do what Yah commands us. It brings to us a great privilege. It caused men to wonder and to ask for the reason that you can dance in the midst of turbulent time. Believe me, I want to tell you something. Yeah, I want to tell you something. I want to tell you something. You cannot do what the word commands now in times that are lean. You're not going to do it when times began to overtake you. We're in that hour that the bills are overtaking the people. Their finances is overtaking them. Where do they go? You don't want to turn to. If you are of the world will love their own. And that word, it is not the hava. Even in the Greek terminology, it doesn't mean that there's an affinity for you. There's simply that they tolerate you. That's all they do, tolerate you. They tolerate you. It's not the hava. It's not that which flows from Yah that brings about this this oneness, this pure connection. He said, I want Israel to dance. And it doesn't take music to dance. He said, dance before me. And come before me and dance. And dance in my presence. He said, you that are into Zion to dance, I want you. You can't do it because the joy, there is no delight. There's only one way you're going to have joy. You must delight in the Torah revelation of Yah. And because you do not delight in the Torah revelation of Yah, you cannot. Our paradigm is false. It is one of disillusion and illusion. You're hoping for things that bring nothing. You're going to find the strength of Yah in the truth, in His Word. It's not coming any other way. He said, Yah takes pleasure in His people. He will beautify the meek. He will beautify the meek with Yahshua. He takes pleasure in the dance. He rejoices in the dance. Praise Him with a timbrel and dance. He said, praise him with a timbrel and dance. Praise him with string instruments and the organ. That's what the word of Yah says. To praise him on loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high sounding cymbal. He said, let everything that hath breath, everything that makes noise, praise Yah. Praise ye Yah. It is so sad that we must be reminded. It is so sad of the condition of the people of Yah. It is so sad that we don't take the things of Yah to heart. And the reason we do not, they are not a reality. We can take lies to heart because we are full of deceit and lies. We don't even know how to discern the truth today. We don't even know how to discern what is appropriate before Yah. We have the willingness to do wrong when it comes to doing right. There is no expression in us to do right. We have lost it. We have not the mark of the Siddiq of Yah. The superficial is false. It must be real. We must be real. I don't care about your little puny feelings. He means what he says. You praise him in the dances. He means what he says. He means what he says. Yes, he means that. I despise this hypocrisy of this generation. Appear to be right, to be Siddiq. Minsad, full of dead men bones, full of hypocrisy and every kind of sin. Why? There's a reason why. There's a reason why. We don't want anyone to tell us that. We want prophecies that will stimulate our sensitivity for our own desires. We don't want things that will cut. The word of Yah is sharp. The word of Yah, it is sharp. The word of Yah is sharp. It is powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. That's what the word of Yah is. That's what it represents. It represents a cutting force. And that's what it comes to do, to cut. To cut. It is a cutting force. It is a battle axe. It comes to tear down, to destroy. It does. And then the healing balm, Yeshua, will heal those that are truly broken. But truly hear the broken of love. We're not a broken people, but I'm here to tell you what's coming on this nation is going to break the mightiest of men. And those that think that they are strong, it's going to break them. And that's a fact. I was reading this morning in the news that Britain, Prime Minister Brown, is already telling the people, you're not going to get large packages of food. You cannot buy it. You better learn how to eat the leftovers and to save and to control your appetite, because we are in a world that is proliferating. And there are billions that mouths must be fed. And because of the greed of a mercantile, they will take monies because it is more expensive or rewarding to utilize the product for their greed than to feed the mouths of the billions that are upon the earth. And we take it so lightly. Our bellies cry if it's not satisfying to our appeal. Our bellies moan and complain because this is not what I desire. But I'm here to tell us, this hoggish, wicked, vile, greedy nation of America, you're going to fall and your bellies are going to pine away. We're going to find out if we truly trust Yah. This is the reality that's taking place, and the world keeps us blinded. The enemy keeps you blind because you care for the things of the world, and that's your own superficial care. And the power of the word of Yah is choked out. Doesn't bring forth any fruit. None whatsoever. These things are realities in the world. They are real. And they are coming to pass whether you believe that or not. There's nothing for us to look at a starving child in some other part of the world. Momentarily, it stuns us. And we go about our selfish, greedy, damnable, corrupt ways. It has no internal effect upon us. We can sit in our hypocrisy. We're full of lies. We care about those things that we care about. We don't care about what Yah cares about. We give no attention unto that. So he means what he says. You need to learn how to come before Yah with dancing and singing. Don't tell him, I don't care if you're dead and tired, hypocrite. You do what he tells you to do. And a man says he loves Yah and keep not his mitzvah. It's a mitzvah of Yah to the order of Shonah, Shahar, to worship. You come before him with dancing. In the world, you go out there, I don't care how the skinnies of the skinnies and the biggest of the biggest, they're out there on the floor doing something. I don't care how fat they are, how skinny they are, they do it. You say what you want to. I don't care how shy they are, whatever, they get out there and try to do the thing. Everyone. You found the whole place up. Shaking their buttocks, everybody rocking and they're rolling. And they're doing the thing because the spirit of the house says jam. And they are jamming. I will. And the stiff thing around the wall, he feels so, or she feels so out of place. And all of a sudden, even that spirit gets upon them and they began to move. And yet Yah says, it's not about a spirit. It's just about the command. Dance. Praise him with dancing. And sing with the timbrel, with the organ, with the string instruments, with your voices. He inhabit the praises. We don't realize how much damage we do to ourselves and define what Yah says. I don't give a nigga what the rat's dung about what you are accustomed to. I don't care about your emotions, your inward expression. That means nothing. Even Hannah, when she cried out unto Yah, even her lips were solemn, but her lips moved. And some of you dead heads, you don't even move your lips. You're dead. Immature. I don't take nothing back. Are you talking to me, preacher? Well, sure, I'm talking to you. Tell you the truth. We love false ones because that's the parameter we operate in. That's why we love false lies and false accusations. We thrive on that. We thrive on the he said, they, them said. I thrive on what Yah says. Hallelujah. We need to get up, grow up, become spiritual. Be no more like little children tossed to and fro. It's time for us to stand. And to stand still and see the power of his Yoshak Yeshua unto Israel. He means what he says. Come before him the way he commands us. You come any other way, you're a thief, you're a liar, and you're a robber. I see brothers exercise more gladness over a ball going in a hoop out there. I see old folks tell me things. I see more expression of gladness in that than the house of Yah. I see folks rejoicing over a compliment than they do the things of Yah. Something is twisted in us. I know what it is. It's the conscience. It is the mind of man. Because our imaginations have been based upon a false paradigm. It's false. The principle or the prototype of that is based upon something that is false and disillusioned. I want to be guided in scripture. I want you all to hear this. Because I want to deal with this thing, this conscience, this inward workings of man. The labia, the lab, the love. I want to deal with that. I want to bring a strategic attack to reveal unto us why we operate with this kind of consciousness that we have that creates all these superficial imaginations. It doesn't flow from the directive of the Torah. Everything that Israel does must flow upon the directives of the Torah. Well, Pastor Roberts, that is the Tehillim, that is the reverence or the praises of Yah that we spoke of. But he spoke from the voice of the Nobi. He spoke by the directives of the prophets before him. Shemuel and Nathan, he knew the directive of Yah. He did not create some word. It was sent by the Ruach, the witness of truth. It was in him, for he was the seed, the elect of Israel. I want to read this from the book of wisdom. And I will begin in Dibri HaYa'in, 1 Chronicles, chapter 28. But it says in the book of wisdom, a profound wisdom, knowledge, revelation. Wisdom 17:11. It says, for the wicked, or the wickedness, the Rasha, the criminal activities. When there is a Torah, a law, we don't obey it, we defy it, then that's the act of a criminal. It is a conscience and a mindset that is based upon, predicated upon, the thought process of a criminal. That is what a criminal does. One defies the law. One enacts their own laws. They will say, quote, this man has more, so I will steal and rob from him because he has more than me, unquote. Well, the Torah of Yah commands a man to work and to labor. The Torah of Yah commands the rich man to leave a corner of his field that those that are reapers may go and garner something for their livelihood. And that's what the Torah of Yah does. For the wickedness, for the Rasha, for the criminal mind, for the criminal activities, for the criminal and the guilt of criminality, for the wicked is a cowardly thing. When a man operates in wickedness, it is a cowardly spirit. When one blatantly defies the Torah of Yah, they are afraid. They're not afraid of Yah, they're cowardly. They are cowardly men. When you see the actions of wickedness, this blatant defiance of Yah, this mindset that will not enact upon the commands of Yahweh, you find a cowardly man. He is a cowardly, superficial man. When a man says to Yah, to hell with your instructions, what Yahshua says, they are no importance to me. That's a coward man. He is cowardly. He is cowardly. You cannot learn the things of Yah unless you are taught. You must be taught the things of Yah. No more than a woman can learn how to love unless there are those that have experienced love. The other women that teach them how to love. She doesn't know how to love. No more than a man knows how to love. That's why the importance of the Avat is important in the makeup of the raising of a son and the wife to a daughter. You do not know. It is not something that you inherit. It must be taught unto you. It must be. We must have confidence and trust that Yah is faithful. What he said he will command and he will do. He said he will give men raha after his heart. Will feed us with knowledge and understanding. And what the enemy wants us to do is to remove the power of man. If we cannot hear man, we cannot hear Shaul, we cannot hear Kephar, we cannot hear no one. We must hear. He will always use man. He will always have that order. Shaul says to Timothy, you study because you're dealing with Sanhedrins that they know Torah. Everyone did not have a Torah to read in those days. No one had a Torah. You must understand he was writing to that time. Study. There were only a few. And Yah had entrusted them. Those men that went with Shaul. That went with Shaul when Yah says, I'm going to give you Gibeah. It says that those men that Yah, that their hearts, that even Yah, their hearts, Yah was pleased with their levim. He was. Because they trusted Yah. And we must trust Yahweh. Not in some kind of verbal escapades, because we can't talk. That means nothing. is the fruit of our action. And the tree will bear witness what is in the life of man. So those that practice wickedness, it is defiance of Torah. There's a reason we practice that, because of this false paradigm, this false conscience that we have. It is not the conscience that has been raised up by the Mishnah, the law, the Torah, the instructions, to hook the statutes of Yah. It's a mind that has been raised up and shapen by iniquities, all wicked practices, selfishness, greed. We can never have enough, can we? Come on, Israel. If that's not the truth, then the word of Yah is a lie. Hell and the grave are never full. Neither can the love of man ever be satisfied. You can never satisfy it. That's why we must get control. That's why we must destroy, impel this desire daily. You must destroy the works of the flesh. Ja'ul, as Elder reminds us, he said, when I seek to do what Torah commands, there's a Torah, there's a law that seeks to draw me away from it. It's a battle. We have Teshua. And that Teshua, it is the power of Yah's victory. In Yahshua, we have that. So the Rasha man, the wicked man, the Rasha man, the criminal, he is a cowardly man. That's what a coward does. It sneaks into your house, breaks in and steals your things because they're cowardly. And they go through the disguise of nights when they think no one can see them. It's a cowardly thing when we practice wickedness. We do things that are defiant unto Yah. It's cowardly. It's a cowardly thing. When you find a man that abandons the truth of Yah, he's a cowardly man. I don't care who he abandons for. If he abandons for his wife, his sons, his daughters, his mother, his grandmother, he is a cowardly man. That man cannot be trusted with the true riches of Yah. He's not going to invest in that vessel. That's a cowardly thing. When you find a Rasha man, that's why this generation, it is halach. It is a weak generation. It is disease. It is a sick generation. It is the bread, the word of Yah that heals us. We eat the bread and we heal. Our minds cannot even eat the bread today. That's why we're sickly, we're weak, we're dying. There's no life or rejoicing. There's no power of Yahshua in us because of our practice of criminality. We're criminals. We're cowardly. We can't say to Yah, Yah, I'm a weak thing. I need help. My shins, the foulness of my actions and my deeds, the corruptions of my thoughts, the foulness of my interaction, my respect of person. We're too cowardly to say that. We don't have the mind to say it. We're weak, we're sick, we're diseased, we're wounded. And it's not someone else that has wounded you, it's your own wickedness has wounded you. Scripture tells us what to do. Something wrong, you lay your gift down, go before the altar, get it right, and repent. Brothers, sisters, sin before you go and reprove them. And they repent, hallelujah. And then you forgive them. This is a wicked, it's a criminal generation. It knows not Yah. So it's about that criminality. It says, condemned, listen to this. Criminals, Rasha, those are Rasha, condemned by your own testimony, is what condemns us. It says distress. This is the main thing I want to emphasize today. Distress by conscience, puku by the conscience, the thing that cause us to stumble. That is what the puku is. What caused you to stumble? What caused you to stumble? A brother? No, it's your conscience. It's your love. It's your puku. It is a thing in your own conscience. See, that's what caused a cowardly man to stumble. The things in his own conscience. Because the paradigm or the architect of what has shaped in his mind is false. It's not real. It's based upon superficial principles. The principles have not been tested. Yah has been tried. That's why he tested Yisrael. Yah prevails. His truth prevails. His identity prevails. It is your own testimony. It is your own testimony that condemns you. It is your own testimony that condemns you. It's your own words that Israel speak against Israel that condemns them. Your own words condemn you. Because you have not the testimony of the power of Almighty Yah. For the testimony of Yahshua, the testimony is alive. It rejoices in the power and the might of Yah. It rejoices in the liberation because one is free to what worship? To Shahar. To fall down, to cry out. That is what that Shahar implies. It is to fall down. It is to be prostrate. It is to cry out. It is an offering unto Almighty Yah because you know that you have not created anything of yourself. You know that you possess no substance at all, not even breath. You don't even possess that. And we don't even understand the value and the importance of that. And that's why there's no experience in Israel to obey that. Why? Because the enemy has lured us away by our own consciousness, by this own conscience that caused us to stumble. It's not someone else's conscience that caused you to stumble. It's your own deficiencies. Because this is a weak generation. It has wounded itself. You're sickly. You're diseased. Yahweh speaks of that same thing unto Corinthia. He spoke unto Korea about the same matter. That you have taken the bread falsely. You have eaten. You have been superficial with Yah. And because of that, many are sick. Many are weakly. Many are asleep. They're dead. And so there us, we come in the bayit of Yah. You're dead. There's no expression of delight in your Ruach because you're dead, you're sin, you're dead in sin and wickedness. And that's why there is no response unto Yah. That's why you cannot rejoice in Yahshua. Rejoice in Yahshua. And again, to remind you, again, Yah says, rejoice. We are stiff-necked even in circumstances like that. You can't do it because it's not in you. Whatever's in you, it will come out. I was thinking this morning as I read news at times. There's this old 82-year-old Jezebel of a flu, see? Out there in Las Vegas. She's been a stripper all of life. This old woman, her skin look as though it's like a dog skin, dead, no life in it. And she says she's still trying to strip. So whatever's in you will manifest itself. And the reality and the power of the testimony of Yahshua is in you, and that is that the power of Yahweh has prevailed against all the works of darkness. It will be made known because it's not in us. It's not made known. It's not. You want to hear things that are soothing. And so I can teach on hermeneutics and hermeneutics and little things that arouses us to make us feel our worth. No, He is worthy. Yah is worthy. He is worthy. Hallelujah. He is worthy of all praises. He says, by our own testimonies we are condemned. By our own testimonies. By our own testimonies. Condemned by our own testimony. The stress of conscious pukha, the stumbling block in our minds, it has always exaggerated the difficulties. You see, it's your own stumbling blocks, listen to me, that always exaggerate your difficulties. I will say that again. That is what the paku is. The paku is, it always exaggerates your difficulties. Because there's a stumbling block in your mind. You don't have the mind of Yahshua. Let this mind, as we were reminded on last Shabbat, He did not say, I will put, He said, let Allah submit to the mind of Yahshua. When you let something, you allow the process of that to flow without opposition and fight against it. So you must allow the mind that was in Yahshua be in us as well. It is the mind of Yah. It is the mind of liveliness. It is the mind of Haya. So because of our cowardiceness, and our cowardly ways, because we are wicked, We exaggerate things because of our parkour, because of our own minds, and it's our own conscience that causes us to stumble. It is your own love that causes you to stumble. It is your own thoughts that cause you to stumble, because you do not walk in the perfect Torah of Almighty Yah. That's why. And so what we do, we exaggerate our difficulties as though that is much more complex than others. We exaggerate. We exaggerate opposition when it comes our way. We exaggerate it. Now, it's not the brother doing you wrong. He's doing you the most. He's treating you inhumane according to your exaggeration. It is not the sister because she told you what was right and it struck you in the Torah of Siddiqah that you exaggerate it. Isn't that how we do things? We take something from one, we exaggerate, we amplify it. It is of shaitan, it is of lies, it is of deception. It is of deception and folly. That's what it's of. Keep your children awake. They sit down 10 hours and watch television. They go out there and play all day. Well, tell me it cannot be done. It's just the slothfulness of Israel. We don't want to give attention to the things that will produce the minds in them that they will serve Yah to. And so that's why they go astray. That's why the world draws them so easily. Look, can I tell you all something? You all don't have to hear what I preach at all. This man doesn't even has to be here. I will eat today, but I will not submit to this cowardly, weak spirit that is among Israel. I will not. And if you're looking for your pacifier, you better get your bottle of milk and suck on it, because I will not. It's time for us to grow up and be stronger. Time for you to stop acting immature and that men can sense. Come on, daughters of Zion, that virtuous wife in Mishlei 31, men admired her. So something so great about her that even that it esteemed her husband, man, admired her. See, what a woman, man. And that's what this woman must be unto Yahshua. That even the Melechim say, ma, what a beautiful thing. What a precious, clean thing. We're spotted. We're spotted with the stench of our filthiness. The blood stain is upon us. Not the dam of Yahshua. It's the stench of a woman with an issue of blood. Because our issues flow continuously. Because we exaggerate them from a conscience and a mind that is so vile and so criminal that one cannot even see the criminal activities. I was talking to a gentleman here in the town the other day. He said to me, the man that works for me, he is stealing from down the street. And so I said to him, you don't need to do that. So the man retorted, I'm not stealing from you, I'm stealing from them. I said, well, if he will steal from them, he will steal from you. He said, I know that. You see, that's the mind of a criminal. That's the mind of a criminal. We don't see what we do unto our brothers and sisters. We're doing that unto Yah. We don't see that a criminal doesn't think like that. A criminal exaggerates their own plight that they amplify above the plight of Yahshua. And that's why they get weary and they faint. And you can see the faintness in them. That's what criminals do. We must have the conscience of Yahshua. But it's only mind that prevails. That's why we can't overcome our wickedness. That's why we can't overcome our superficial ways and our fleshly ways. Well, I'm not used to doing that. You go to a job, they will tell you the responsibility, and you will do it. I've watched on jobs that when processes change, well, the people get so bit out of shape. I would always say to the people, I think that's childish. We're going to have to do it anyway, so just get on board and start doing it. You must begin to practice it. And we are so sedentary that our sinful practices are ways that are wicked, that when Yah speaks to us concerning our vileness, we get upset with Him. Well, as Elder Wyman reminded us on Shabbat, we're not upset with the man or the messenger. We're upset with Yah. Your problem is not with me, it's with Yah. Because this is what His word says. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So this criminal mindset, it distresses what? It brings this stumbling block in the mind. And that is what causing Israel to stumble, their own conscience, because they do not adhere to the commands of Yah. Now, I want you to hear what David says in 1 Chronicles, Dibri Ya'in. 1 Chronicles 28 and 29. As he speaks unto Solomon, his son, I want to take my time. I want you to understand this. It says here in 1 Chronicles 28 verse 9, David spoke unto Solomon. He said, my son. He said, and you, Solomon, my son, know, yada, know, understand. You must learn in order for you to know, in order for you to understand the precepts and the counsel of Yah, you must be instructed. He says, know you, yada. And the way we know our Abba is by the faithfulness unto his Torah and that revelation of that Torah, Yahshua, that witness of truth, that his Torah is the strength of Israel. It is what causes us to prevail against any law, it is stature that man can design. We have a law, Torah of our flesh. It is a criminal mindset. It breaks everything that's right. It defies everything that's right. It hates everything that is lawful. So he says, son, yada, yada, no. Allow Yah to be important and the most valuable thing to you. Know you, Yahweh, for he is the sovereign ruler of your avat. Well, how do I know that? Just be reminded of how he brought Israel out of the bondage of Misraim. As he brought them through the great battles, that he did not allow them to raise up with some military might and power, because he fights the battle for Israel. He didn't want David, or he did not want Shaul define what he commanded him, because the victory is not in the amount of soldier. He said unto Gideon, don't worry, take that few, because the power of the might of prevailing is in me, and you shall prevail. You shall overcome the opposition of hell. You have power to overcome. I simply want you to walk in my Torah. I want you to yada, to know me, to understand. And so he said, Solomon, know ye the Most High of our Avot. Always be reminded in the scroll, the Torah, in the Chronicles, of what things transpired in Israel. Keep that in your mind. Keep that refresher in your thought. When we think about the Torah of Yah, when our minds are consumed with the testimony of Yahshua, it will do something in the mind, in the conscience of man. It totally ratifies or changes us and eradicate those things in us that cause us to stumble. It is the sin. It is the defiance of Torah. It causes us to stumble. It is self-righteousness. It is that filthy rags. It causes us to stumble. That's what causes us to fall. We exaggerate things in our wicked conscience. That stumbling block in your conscience make you exaggerate things. Why is it that when someone is dealing with you, it's always is much more harsh, much more difficult? With the other brother, sister, they needed that. This is the wicked generation. How is it that everyone is right or wrong and you're right? I look back every day, I look back on the wicked and say, man, I should have did it that way. That wasn't the best way. I shouldn't have spent that money on that. Man! We both ought to look at it now. I do that all the time. I say it all the time. If I cannot see a progressive enlightenment and renewing in me every day, something is wrong in me. I look back last week, this time I can see how far I've come from last week to this day. I can see how far I have progressed in knowledge, understanding things that I had no concept of from last Shabbat to this day. I can see that. I can look back a year and say I was a pitiful young man. I can look back 6 months and say how sad you were, Dave Roberts. You can't see that something is drastically missing in you. I don't want my behavior to be like it was last year or last week. Hallelujah. You don't have to do the same thing you did. You don't have to do things redundantly over and over. What did you do? Because there's no change in you. Yah renewed something in Israel. When Yahshua did something that even the written Torah of Moshe could not do. I said again, Yahshua did something that the written Torah could not do. There's another reminder. Us, they will go offer their sin offering, but every year they're reminded of what they've done. This revelation, the power of this living Torah, caused our sins to be cast as far as away from the east as from the west. Come on, there's a reminding of my sins. This word of Torah, one that is appeased with Yah for what he has done. And so he won, Solomon. I want you to see what the book says. It's not my word. I want you to hear this. This wicked generation got this false paradigm of what they call Christianity. It's false. I want you to hear this. He says, Solomon, my son, know you Yada Yah, the sovereign ruler of your Avat. He said, and I want you to serve him. He said, with a heart that is complete. We only have a complete, perfect love if it keeps the order of the covenant, the Brit of Yah. He said, I want you to serve him with a shalem, a perfect, be ye perfect, as Yah is perfect, Yah commands us. For his order, his Torah, his covenant with Israel never change. That's why the sons of Yaakov are not consumed. His Yah, he changed not. Therefore, you sons of Israel, we should have died last night. I should have been cut off an hour ago. By the mercies of Yah. This is an ignorant generation, don't consider him. That's why he commands us in all things to give Torah. Because he is the one that has prevailed. He has prevailed against all opposition of hell. Every power of darkness, Yeshua has prevailed. That's why he wants us to give Torah. He wants us to know him. You're not going to know him as a criminal, walking in lies and superficiality, and this conscience, this pakua, this mind that caused you to stumble. But I know he said dance, but I don't feel like it. That's a pakua mind. That's a mind that caused you to stumble. Then you exaggerate things. Well, it doesn't take all that. Brother, you're safer. Dance unto Yah, my brother. Don't let no one ever, whether you are happy or sad, don't feel like it, dance. The wicked go to the club and dance the night away, don't they? There was a song in my days. It was called Twisting the Night Away. Who sang that? Chubby Checkered? Was that Chubby Checkered? No, he said he had the one. Come on, let's do the twist like we did last summer. Come on, let's do the twist. But that was another song. I don't know if he's saying that was Twisting the Night Away. Twisting the Night Away. Whoa, I'm twisting the night away. Whoa, I'm twisting. That's all I did. Twisting the night away. Oh, I'm twisting the night. Yeah. That was a song like that. Who was that, mama? I don't know if it was Sam Cooke. It was one of them boys. It wasn't Otis Redding. But that was a song like that. Twisting the night away. Now we need to pray sin. And confess our sins. That's what Israel needs to do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, I want you to serve Yah. Submit unto Yahweh with a shalem. A lev that is complete with the covenant order of Yah. You cannot have the covenant order of Yah in your conscience unless your mind is shaped by the paradigm of the Torah of Yah. It must be. And our minds have been shaped by the Baptist, the Pentecostal, the Holiness, the Charismatic, the Line Maddox, the Snake Jakes, the Creeping Dollar, Pocket Dollar, all of these men. It must be shaped by Yahshua HaMashiach, the Torah of life. The living word and the word of Yah, the Torah of Yah, the Imat, the truth of Yah, was made flesh. He said, you surrender unto Yah, your Abba, that which is pure, that you have a conscience and a mind to walk with great delight in the covenant of Yah. Because there's a covenant relationship that I have with you, Israel. I have succored you unto me. I procured you unto my bosom. I've given you my teeth for you to lay upon my breast, that you may sense my ahava that I have for you, Israel. And when you sense that it caused fatness to rise in your life, it ought to. It's almost like a man, his son, that he calls his heart to be fat. His son lays his head in his daddy's chest and hugs him. Looks in his eyes and say, I love you, daddy. It changed the emotions of that father. It changed the expression, his attitude, his eyes. It changed everything about him. Sure it does. Of course, that is not even a part of the actions today by children today. They don't know how to do it because they haven't been taught. They have been taught by your mothers and they've been taught by your fathers. So how do you expect them to do it? They've seen us raise hell and fight like hell and act like the hell that is in us. But they have not saw you act with that Torah power and the mandate that comes in the covenant relationship with you. Not what these lying, teething snakes and jakes and these creeping dogs teach to people. This covenant relationship is one of correction. It's one that critiques us. It's one that refines us. Everything in life must be refined. I don't care if it's flour, sugar. There's a process of refining. So it is with you. So it is with Yah. Refines everything. And that's what Yahshua does. He refines. He refines the word of Yah. He makes it fine. He makes it fine for us. We can eat it. We can cry like thy wheat feed me until I want no more. We never get tired of eating it. Hallelujah. He said, I want you to serve Yah with this Shalem, this heart that is complete. With the understanding, that's why he said, Yada no Yah, with the understanding of this covenant relationship that Israel, our forefathers, had with Yah. You must understand that, Sholeman. He says, not only that, I want you to serve him with a Sholeim, a perfect lamb, and with a hafetz. He says, a willing heart, a hafetz heart. You understand that, brothers and sisters? I'm ignorant. So when I see wordings and phrases in scripture, I want to understand the detailed purpose of that and why Yah put it there. And the word hafetz, he said, I want you to serve him with the hafetz. I want your love, your conscience to be hafetz. And that is simply a delightfulness that resonates from one when one truly knows Yah and serve him with a pure conscience. He said, I want you to have hafetz, this desire, this pleasure. I look at Israel, there's not even a pleasure in serving Yah. They look humdrum, look dead, because you're full of sin. There's no hafetz. With the willing, a hafetz. And that is a love that delights, that this one of our forefathers will speak to you today and say, I charge you by the directive of Yahshua that these things you keep, for this satisfy me, and I shall, Esha, fill you with a great delight and the happiness that flow from my bosom. He wants us to have faith with a hafetz willingness, that there is no murmuring or complaining, there is no fighting in opposition against Yah. There is no casting Yah away or removing oneself from the presence of Yah. He said, I want you to understand this, Sholeman, because there's a purpose for that. There's a purpose. Because we must serve Yah this way. We must have a conscience that gravitates to the things of Yah with pure desire. And the reason our minds cannot gravitate to those things is because we have this pukkah, we have this stumbling block in our conscience. And it is your own self-righteousness, your own wicked paradigm that is based upon your own corrupt philosophies and laws that are based upon your sinful practices.
You sin and you do it willingly. You don't even understand the consequences of your sin. See, it's one thing that we don't ever understand the consequences of a murmuring and muttering. It brings death to any house. I'd rather have 2 men with me that are willing to serve Yah than 50 that are murmurers and mutterers and speaking valiantly against Yah. I'd rather have 2 sisters that are going to serve Yah. You can get more done with 2 than you can with 20 that are murmurers and complainers and those that are not willing. Those that are not hafiz. Hafiz. See, we don't do things with a delight to, do we? We're a bunch of hypocrites. We don't even do things with a delight to it. And Yah says, he says to Solomon, I want you to have the delight. I want you to have a willingness, a hafiz, a desire that creates this delight, rejoicing in Yeshua. Because you know all things that you do it as unto Yah. And you delight that He sees all things. We don't have that conscience today because we have a stumbling block. Our conscience caused us to fall. It caused us to stumble, as Elder Wymo reminded us, there's a law. There's a working of an opposition within us that's against this conscience or this mind of Yeshua HaMashiach. Because Yeshua did one thing. You all know what He did, didn't you? Don't you? He did one thing. He pleased the Abba. He pleased Yah in all things. And that is the command unto Yisrael. That we please the Abba in all things. Everything that we do will cause a delight in the love of Yah. What is more powerful than elderly sisters of women that move in the Ruach of Yah. Sons and men of Yah that stand in the strength of Yah. And they're soldiers, warriors on the battlefield for Yah. What is more powerful and more dynamic than that? Our mind is consumed with the lust and the greed of our flesh. We are concerned about what we're going to eat, what we're going to have, how much money this, how much money that. But I think about my sister Hawkins that doesn't even have money for stamps. We want to make sure she has money for stamps. She wants to write Pastor Roberts. You'll spend every nickel you get on nothing. Quiet, huh? You can't hold 1 nickel? You can't hold 1 penny. I talked to some of these brothers. I said, how much you got saved? I do it. I don't care what they got saved. I don't want it. I got this saved. That's all right then. I know what they get. And to have that amount saved, that's pretty admirable. That's pretty admirable. To me it is. Now, you don't need no banking account. You don't need to put it there for what? The second largest bank yesterday. We got a little money up here. I'm thinking, yeah, this thing is going to fall. The second largest bank, they shut it down yesterday. And they shut down. People crying, my money, I got to get my money. It's eager generation, we bleed. Come on, we trust it. We lay up treasures upon the earth, but we don't trust Yah. Well, what's the, well, what, oh, that makes you feel nice because you got that few dollars there. That's stupid. Trust the usury in the hands of the wicked. That's what we do. Well, I won't put nothing else up there. No, I just hold it back here in case we need it. Brothers doesn't know where it at. I tell them all the time, if I die today, interested robbers, you just go to the house, just throw everything out, you find it. I don't hide it. I just lay it there, you just find it. Hallelujah. Just don't be a greedy hog. I do things right with monies. That's a fact. Do it right. Have you abused money? No, I don't abuse money. I was purchasing. I say, why did we buy that? But not abuse it. Not abuse it. That's a fact. Hallelujah. You all, that many of y'all can even manage the little monies that we have. The way they come. And the electric bill is $2,600. Alright? Do y'all hear that? 2,000. 6 bills. And this place in this little town, they will snatch it if you don't pay it. Well, how do you pay it? Don't worry about it. That's not for you to worry. It'll be paid. Don't worry about that. I said to the brothers the other day, if I die today, you don't have to worry about nothing because we owe no man nothing. Just be a follower of me. Imitate me. Hallelujah. What's wrong with that? They imitate the crip walk. Imitate that. Why not just imitate me? Be ye followers of me. As I am
Yeshua, he meant what he said. See, we just are too ignorant to understand word meanings, etymology. I'm too dumb not to understand what it means. It means just that. And in many translations, it will say that. Be an imitator of me. Imitate me, Timothy. Do it the way I do it. Just like me. Is not our lives based upon some form of imitation? Come on, brothers and sisters. Don't be false with yourself. You've seen something about someone. Women see how other women dress. They want to dress like them. They want to imitate that. You don't sit here and think that you are the originator of anything, because you are deceived in your fat head. Everything you have, you do, you have, is a process of learning. You learn how to walk, a process of learning. He satisfied the love of Israel with tough things. Hallelujah. So don't give me that your whole life process has been one of learning patterns and actions of others, and you have equated that, you have equated them and you brought them into your flow of life, and that's how it's done. You know the originality of nothing. Nothing. You ever created anything? You have learned. Life is a process of learning. From whom? Men, women, children, things, earth. That's what life is. So he warned Solomon that you serve Yah with this Shalem, reminded of the covenant, reminded of the things that Yah has done for Israel, and with this Hafetz, with this willingness that you delight in the instructions of Yah. That is the Hafetz, that's the willingness. Not to just do it because you are told to do it, but you delight in it. Brothers, we go clean fish. Oh, Pastor Roberts. But no true delight. Sister, do that. No, don't do that. There's a Hafetz. When there's a willingness, there's a Hafetz. There's a delighting. You get to, you tell me you can't tell when someone delights in something? You can tell when someone is stiff and nasty? You can tell when they're raunchy and wicked? I know I can. I'm talking about you. I'm not talking about you thinking about someone else. That's you. We're talking to you. That's your problem. You're always thinking about someone else. You don't ever think about you. You think it's always someone else. This word is for you. Listen. This word is just for Israel. You that are not Israel, God's not talking to you. You're a stranger. You're a swine. You're not even part of the commonwealth. He's not talking to you. He was talking to the man that will rule the kingdom of Israel. Serve him willingly. Be reminded of the covenant of Yah, the whole faith. He said, for Yah searches all of him. He searched the heart. And he understand all the imaginations, the yasta, the imaginations, the thoughts, the conscience, the ideas of one. He said he understand all the imaginations of the thoughts. He says, if you look at this, he said, if you darash, if you seek him, if you set your mind with affection toward Yah, our minds are not affectionate toward Yah. Affection toward Bojanga chicken and everything, but it's not affectionate toward Yah. We are people that you gotta have Bojanga, you gotta get it, you just gotta have. I'm using that as a metaphor. You understand what I'm saying? It is the driving of our flesh we gotta have, and we'll do almost a criminal act to get to it. Yeah, when we got to have Yeshua, we will not press, we will not get on our face, we will not cry out, we will not confess our sins, we will not denounce the power of this corrupt flesh. You got to have some chocolate bells for mama, huh? Come on, you hypocrites. I like peanut butter with some jelly and banana sandwiches. It gives me a great amount of energy. I like that. Peanut butter. I'm not talking about, I just a little jam on it. And then I like a banana on that. That's right to me. I eat that. I'm straight. I can roll. But I like that. Peanut butter. I like strawberry jam. Grape is all right. I like strawberry. Some marmalade, some orange or something like that. And I like peanut butter, banana, and a little jam. That's my sandwich. I can handle it all day long. I'd rather have that than a turkey sandwich. I'd rather have that than fried chicken. Seriously. Because if I eat that, that's straight. I can roll. It gives me a level of energy. I can, with that, peanut butter. I may be messing up because I eat peanut butter and jelly, bananas too often. But I like that. That's my thing. I like that. That's my thing. I like that. And so when a man truly has this heart, this darash, the sikh, yeah, that his conscience, his mind is upon Yah, and our thoughts are so easily deterred and altered, our conscience is so easily corrupted, our minds are given over on the things that are not Yah. He says to Solomon, darah. He said, I want you to darash, seek Yah, seek him. He said, if you seek him, he will be found of you. If we seek Yah, he will be found of us. The revelation of Yahshua will be revealed when we seek Yah. We're not seeking Yah, brothers and sisters. We're seeking everything but him. When we truly darash, that our mind, our love is set upon Yah, our conscience is clear, our imagination is one of the kingdom thoughts and concepts. Most of our energy is placed upon things that are irrelevant. They have no power. They can't even retain you. They can't keep you. Our thoughts give it on the things that do not even satisfy. He says, son, I'm telling you this. I'm telling you this. If you do this, he will be found. He says, but I want to tell you something. But if you forsake, if you azab, if you abandon Yah, if you neglect this Torah, if you reject Yah, if you forsake him, I want you all to hear this. If you abandon Yah, you turn away, if you depart from the light of his truth. So we can have all these false perceptions we have learned from this false paradigm and believe that because of your wicked daughters and sons, they're going to come back. I want to show you something. He said, but if you za'ab, you forsake Yah. Listen, I want you to hear this. If you za'ab, you forsake Yah, him, he will zanak. He will cast. And this, when I understood the meaning of this zanak, I said, yeah, it means he will forcefully, he will abandon you. He will forcefully, he will forcefully reject you with force. He will say, get out of my face, man, get away. You understand that? He will forcefully, reject you. He said, don't depart from Yah. Do not depart. Don't turn away from the Torah. Don't turn away from the Torah commands of Yah. He said he will reject you. He will zanak you for off forever. Ad. Perpetually. Without ceasing. Yahweh's time. He will forsake you. Reject you. Then those that would say that Solomon was delivered and revived. Lies from him. He rejected Yah. He turned from Almighty Yahweh. He turned away from the truth of Yah. He said, and that's why we warned him. You must understand that our minds must be shaped by the true paradigm or this true prototype. It is not from some philosophy of men. It's not by the excellence of their speech and their philosophizing thoughts. But it's based upon the Mishra, the government or the power of Yah to govern us that even in every circumstance we prevail. Our minds prevail against the dark thoughts. Do you ever find yourself where dark thoughts overtake you and actions that are dark consume you? Come on, Israel. That didn't happen to Yahshua. He cast out every imagination, every thought that exalted itself against the mind of Yah. That's what every thought is. He brought it into captivity. And that's what we must do. We must be brought into captivity. And that is under the Torah power of the truth of Yah. He said, I'm warning you, son. If you serve Yah, if you obey him in the way that he commands you, then he will barak. He will be with you. But if you forsake him, if you forsake him, he will zanak you off forever. In the Arabic, the Hebraic word forever is at perpetually, forever, continuing into the future. You know, we want to make forever means what we want it to for our circumstances, but this is the command unto Yahweh. That's why we must take great delight. We must have hafetz. We must delight in serving Yah. Oh, everything we do, it ought to cause our left to be fat.
Living in an environment like this, whatever you can do, whatever you can find your hands to do, you told us of Zion, you men of the abide of Israel, you should put your hands to do it. You that love to sleep and slumber, you come to poverty, you have no strength, you have no spiritual strength, you have not the power of the rock, you have no physical power at all.
In the days of this nation, the man that had to keep his family warm, he did not wait until winter to start cutting wood. He'd get an ox, he would go out there and fell the trees, you understand? He knew what it was going to take to keep them warm. And he did not waste wood either. So he could not be a man that loved to sleep and slumber. There are men that, as soon as they sit down, they go to sleep. They can't keep their eyes awake. Something is wrong. There's a spiritual power there. I was sitting up all the night. It was about 11, 11:30, maybe 12, 11. Because many times my wife asked me, what time you come to bed? In the summertime, it's hard for me to go to bed early. Winter, different ball game. I go to bed early in the winter. And as I was sitting there, I was studying a few scriptures, looking at things. I said, you know, if I never had to sleep, yeah, I really would not. I would not. Do a little here and rest a little bit, take a bath and go back doing this. What could a man accomplish in something like that? So when a man a little falling in a hand, a little sleeping, then one comes to poverty. When one folds their hands and they sleep and they sit down, and the first thing you notice, they're sleeping. Their energy just left there. There's no energy there. Something is wrong with us. Something is wrong. It's the word of God that revives us. It creates this euphoric in Israel. It creates this delighting, this rejoicing. I can't stand a lazy man. I don't like a lazy woman either. I can't handle that. I can't stand someone shiftless and lazy. Yah doesn't like it either. He commands us to work. Man doesn't work, he ought not eat. He commands us to work at our soul, salvation with fear and trembling. That's what he commands us to do. And it takes quite a bit of job to keep you in line. You're not maintenance free. It takes quite a bit of maintenance. You are high maintenance. We are high maintenance people. That's why you gotta be, you gotta go down to the Fuller's house. You need the soap. You need the Fuller soap. There's one thing that the Fuller could get out in his spot. It makes no difference. He could get the spot out. Your garments are spotted with your flesh. And that flesh must be destroyed, brought down to the gates of hell. That's the consequences of it. For there is no tough thing that dwells in your flesh. That's why you need the mind of Yeshua. You need the conscience of Yeshua. Must have that conscience. The paradigm is broken. And based upon false fallacies, lies, stipulations. And they're based upon the covenant relationship that Israel ought to have with you. That's what it's based upon. That's why we are falling. That's why we are weak and sickly. That's why we are weakly people. That's why we are diseased. That's why our bodies cannot absorb the truth of Yah. That's why we can't hear the word of Yah. That's why we get so offensive against Yah. That's why we get so defensive against Him. We can't absorb Him. Just like our physical state is, that's how our mental state is. Oh, honey, because it may look like something on the outside, that doesn't mean that it has all the wares in the inside. You understand? Those sayings say what looks tough or good on the outside, that doesn't mean on the inside that all things are right, all right? Hallelujah. That doesn't mean that. Not one bit at all. You see, that's the paradigm of the world. This paradigm of the world is more concerned about the creature than the creator. That's what it's concerned about. And that doesn't give us law. That doesn't give us a privilege or right to go away from what the Creator says. He gives us a law. He gives us a Torah of life, a Torah of fellowship, a Torah of brotherhood, a Torah of sisterhood, a Torah of marriage, a Torah of health, a Torah of wealth, a Torah to eat, a Torah how to eat. He gives us all of that. So you're not going to escape one bit at all. You say, because of this, that's why you look that way, we that way, because we're not abiding in the Torah of Yah. Their body's not deficient. Don't even have the proper nourishment or the essentials that are needed to grow properly. And there are us that are beyond the Torah of Orient that you are ordained for the physical man. Get quiet. That makes no difference. It's something that there are things that it's all right if the preacher touch on. And there are other things if he touch on, they're not pickable. They're not appropriate. It's one thing that old Elder Roger was saying at Mount Sinai. He said, even back in the
Pastor Roberts, he touches on everything that we need. That's what he would say. Hallelujah. Our health, the way we should smell and taking baths. Hallelujah. Y'all commanded Israel to do that. Brother Mansi goes, wash them folks up. They stink. They stink. And we stink, brothers and sisters. I don't care what kind of cologne you got on, it makes no difference. We stink. We are stinking people. We are a stinking people. Stench. And we ought to be bringing a sweet, savoring smell before the nostrils of Yah. The offering of praise and our hands clean and our mouths open up with accolades of worship. It's your heart. Something is wrong with us. Something is wrong with us when there is never this delight and this energized willingness to do that. You are a sick thing. Something is wrong with you. Something is wrong here. As Elder reminds us, this heart, something is wrong in the lab. Something is wrong in your conscience. Something is wrong. Something is wrong. And you will get excited about a piece of hot piece of trash, a pile of cow's dung. That's all it is. I was talking to Deacon Horn the other day. I said, I'll tell you what, boy, you can take Sister Laquille out. She'd tell you, we ain't going that way. I said, I guarantee you. He didn't have to tell me that. I know. I said, she tell me, no, sir. Not that way. You get that? Mm-mm. I am not. You may do it, but I am not. Hallelujah. We are a generation who is sick. And the world is making sure you stay sick, too. Hallelujah. It's making sure you do that. Don't you know the AMA, America's Medical Association? You know the men of color or doctors of color? They just apologize. They, because all these years, even up until now, they would not let a doctor of color become a part of it. So he cannot even work in the hospital. They would not allow that. And they never adhered to their diagnostics or the understanding of medicine that they had. They would not even hear it. They wouldn't even, that's the truth. These things happen today. You're sitting there looking at me all fruitcake-ish. This is the reality today. They will not even adhere to it. They cannot be a part of their organization. They cannot be a part of the medical journal. They will not be a part of their associations and their meetings or anything. They will not allow them to do that. You understand? And so they said that because the doctors of color, they had a better understanding of the health or how to deal with the patients of color. And that's why the people of color, that their health has fallen so far behind those that whereby the doctors whereby of these associations, they would never allow them. Oh, that's the truth. Come on, it's in the paper. It was in the paper of the day, whether you read it or not. You can be blind to it, but it's a fact. It exists. It's a sick nation. It's sick. It's a sick, wicked nation. That's what we as Israel, we must do what Scripture tells us to do. As much as we have opportunity to tell unto all men. But especially Israel, did you understand that? You get fellowship with them dogs of hell and you have no interaction with the people of hell. You are sick jackass. I don't take nothing back. Your wicked mammy, grandmammy, makes no difference. Mama, I don't care what folks think about what I preach. I had someone to write me the other day from Charlotte. He says, I got a question. I said, you go to the web, you listen to some of my messages, listen to what I preach. It answers all your questions. Well, I wanted you to ask me a question. I determine whether I want to come and say, look, you go listen to what I preach, and you can make the determination from there. You can make it from there. You see, if I'm trying to get a membership growth, I certainly will try to figure out how to answer a question. I'm not trying to figure out how to answer the question. I'm concerned about truth and truth prevailing. And she even said in a letter that it would be beneficial to you and me. Businesswoman, been in business for 8 years. That doesn't mean nothing to me. I stand for the imats of Yah. You understand? So I'm not going to try to answer things the way that appeases one. I will answer according to the Scripture. And so when one goes outside of the text of Scripture, outside of the text of the covenant, then that is the Rasha one. When someone knows that it's wrong to do it and they do it despite what Yah says, that's a wicked man and woman, period. He says, Solomon, Yah says he's going to cast you off forever. He will cast you. He will forcefully cast you out of his presence. We don't believe that that's Yahweh. But that's the Abba that made us. I want to read this before I close. That's much to this teaching. And I'm going to continue this, all right? Hallelujah. I said that last week. I don't know. I think I turned out about three or four messages. May not never preach them. But this one I'm going to work on a little bit, all right? See, because when my mind, when I'm talking to you, there are all kinds of, whether I'm in the bean field, whether I'm building a building or helping the brothers, whether I'm over there in that little building over there, makes no difference where I'm at. Whether I'm at home sitting at my desk, whether my heels are kicked back and my thoughts are pulsating in my mind. There are always messages and teachings and preachings that need to be taught unto Israel. We are lagging. We are lagging far behind. Our minds must be corrected. Our conscience, they must be corrected. We've built things on a false promise and a false hope. We must have the tikvah. Yeah, we find it only in one place, and that is in the living truth. I want to turn to the 29th chapter of the same book. Hallelujah. Same book, 29th chapter. I want to begin reading in verse 10. I want to do this expeditiously. It says here, as David, he was given Torah unto Yah for the prayer and the offerings that Yah had allowed him to amass for the Bayat, the tabernacle of the house, to be built. But he was not the one to do it. But this is the instructions that he gives unto the wise. It says in the 29th chapter, 1 Chronicles, he said, wherefore David, he fell down with supplication and prayer, he barak Yah, before all the congregation. And that's how we ought to do it. We ought to barak, we ought to bless Yah before the congregation, the assembly of Israel. And David said to Yah, I barak Yahweh, our Abba of Israel, the Most High, or the Mighty One, the Abba. He said, I do it forever and ever. Why? Listen to what he says to Yah. He says, yours, O Yah, is the greatness, is the might, and the power, and the beauty, and the victory, and the grandeur. For all that is in the Shemayim, the heavens, and in the earth, is yours. Everything belongs to Yah. Your breath, your life, the tree, the flower, the ant. He says, everything that I see, Yahweh, it belongs to you. That's why I exemplify your greatness, your power, your honor. He says, yours is the kingdom of Yah. And you are exalted above as head above all. And he is the creator of all things. He says, both riches and great honor come to you. And Yahweh reigns over all. And in your hand is power and might. And in your hand is to make great, to give strength to all. Now all this is in the power of the hand of Yah. We know the hand of Yah. Yisrael ought to know the hand of Yah. That strengthen us in our weakness. Yahshua, the right hand of Yah. You created all things. All belongs to you, Yah. What could you offer Yahweh that's not His? That's why He says you have breath. To feel wrath, I want you to honor me. Dance, something that is simple, that it just take an act of obedience and not a damn wicked defiance. Okay, how resist it? You need to learn how to do it. Just do it. You know, in my days when I wanted to learn how to do a dance, you would watch. And of course, there were dances that they had steps to it. They were tough. And there were dances that were easy to do. And there were some that, and of course, I wanted to, when I was out there, I wanted to make sure when I danced, everybody looked at me, he can dance. That's the way I was, all right? Okay? And we used to do a dance called the bump. You know, you get the bumping and bumping you out. Bump. Yeah, I did that too, all right? And all of that, you understand? Wicked just like you. All right. Okay. And so in order for me to learn how to do it, I had to watch. Then I had to go to places and practice that. So that's how we do with Yah. Well, just do it. He just told you to dance. That's what He told you to do, dance. It's amazing that every day in Psalms, whether I go Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I'm telling you, I get there in time whereby you hear the big call, all employees to the front for the daily meeting.
And they had them, that one old fellow, boy, he was tough. I liked him, boy. He was goofy like, but he go S-S-A-A-M-M-S-S. That's the way you do it. C-C-L-L-U-U-P-P. I just sat back and watched him. I said, man, look, this boy, I would hire him. I wouldn't hire you, but I would hire him. P-Sam's Club. Sam's Club.
You watch him go to the cashier. Said, man, I'll hire this man here.
In my business, I would.
Oh, sure I would.
Because he was energetic. He was energized. And the reason he did it like that, it was sure he appreciated he had a job. He knew he had a nice, what they call, nice job. He knew that was opportunity for him. And he wanted everybody to see that even when the big man was there. He would cry out, Sam's Club. Sam's Club. I can watch the ones. I look at the ones that. I said, they'll never go anywhere. Period. You look at the dead heads and they didn't open their mouths. You watch the ones that would go. I can tell you exactly the ones that will progress in the company. That promotion will come to them. And the ones that did it like that, they wouldn't get anywhere. They were the murmurers. They were the murmurers and the complainers. But that fellow, he wasn't complaining. He told me, man, college boy like me got a job like this. Sam's Club. I'll just get him in here and let him just say, Yahshua, Yahshua. Just that. And I would just say back, hey, when I would hear them, I said, well, let me stop. Let me get up there. I didn't want to say back, just watch them. I just said, that's all right. Just watch him. And nobody would hear me. I see the dead ones and thought they were cool. They were. That's the way they did it. Because you don't see them. Little portly young fella there, he was Sam's Club. Sam, they couldn't do it like him because he was tough. He was the only one to get it up like that. He wasn't ashamed. So that one, they kind of do it like that. And you saw the ones that were, Sam, you see the women, boy, some of them, they get excited. Of course, men, you know, they kind of look stiff, but the ones that did it, you could see them, the promotions. I saw one of the fellas back. I said, what are you now, sister manager? Oh, yeah. See, he was the one of the Sam's Club. Sam's Club. See, he was the one that hollering Sam's Club. You see, if he got energized about something that simple, then the manager knew that he would be energized if he gave him a greater responsibility. A steward, if he's not faithful in the small things, he's not going to be faithful in the large things. So a little thing like that to sing the song, Sam's Club. Sam's, if he's faithful in that, he's going to regard their monies and their goods, and he's going to do service unto them. But the hypocrites that will not guard that, when Yah says a simple thing to us to dance, to sing, we can't do that. He's not going to entrust you with mighty things. The fellow's not there at Sam's anymore. He's somewhere else, but he's doing the same thing. Oh, he'll get a promotion. That's a fact. Hallelujah. Verse 14. He says in verse 12, both riches and great honors come to you, and you reign over all the earth. In your hand is power and might, and in your hand to make great and give strength to all. Now we said, now therefore, Yahweh, our Abba, we told her with an excellence praise. There's something that flows from not just thank you, but it's beyond the appreciation. It is. It resonates from a conscience and a mind, from a level that sincerely Yada knows you, Yah. I told you, Yah, and Tehillah, the Tefirath of your name, the praises of the excellence and the honor, the Kabor of your name, Yah. I praise your name. For in that name we find our Yahshak, our Yahshua, the strength and the promise of hope for Israel. He says, but who am I? And what is my people? What is my people? That we should be able. What are we? He said, Yah, my, you made everything. You own everything. He said, what are my people? That we should be able to offer so willingly. Are we willing to offer unto Yah so willingly? He said that we are able to offer unto you so willingly, with the hafetz, with a delight that we can offer so willingly after this sort. For all things come of you, everything, it belongs to you.
Yeah, you made the gold and the silver, my, yeah. Come on, my people. What are we that we can do this so half-faced, so willingly? There's a delight. Even though we know you own everything, but you grab this unto us. He owns the breath in your body. He owns the movement of your hands and the clapping of your hands, the movement of your feet. And you can't do that willingly unto Yah. That, what is Yah that He allows you to do it so willingly? He said with such hafetz that you do it with delight. That we do it with delight, Yah. We know you own everything. Man, you own the ground we walk on. Even the dirt that washes off our bodies. When we bathe, you own that, Yah. Everything is yours. Yet you allow us to come unto you. Come on, brothers and sisters. You all hear me? He owns everything. He owns your life. He owns everything. And He allows you to come before Him to worship, to shahar, to worship, to brachin. Come on, what's wrong with us that we hold back? What's wrong with us that we're so immature spiritually? That this doesn't make us realize the value of Yah. He created all things. Something is wrong with us. We need to be taught again. Instead of us being teachers, we need to be taught. He says, Yahweh, all things come from you, and of yours own have we given you. It is yours. You hear that? Of your own have we given you. For your breath comes from Yah. He breathed a breath in the man. He become a living nephesh. He said, even what we give to you, it belongs to you. What are we? We own nothing, but even this which we offer unto you, it comes from you, Yah. Now, this is the scary part, next verse. He says, for we are strangers. We are gari. We are strangers. We're strangers, gari. We lack knowledge and understanding of our heritage. We don't even know who we are. We are estranged from Yah. That's why we don't praise Him. That's why we don't. Our conscience calls us to stumble. Our conscience calls us to stumble. That's why we stumble at the hearing of the truth. That's why we get offended so easily. That's why we can't hear Him. We cannot. We are strangers. We are gari. We are newcomers. We lack the understanding of our rights. He says before you. And we are sojourners, we are aliens, we are strangers. We are strangers. As were all, not some. He said, all our avat. Abraham, Yitzhak, Yaakov, strangers unto Yah. They all had their battles, didn't they? And their struggles. He said, our days on the earth as a tassel, a shadow, and without permanence. Do you all hear that? Our days upon the earth is as a shadow. It's like a tassel. And it's not a permanent thing. So all we do as unto Yah. We barak. We praise Him. We shahar. With hafiz. We delight in the willingness to grant unto Him everything that belongs unto Him. It's just taking what's His and say, here it is. You gave me usury and I give it back to you. All is yours, Yah. Hallelujah. Verse 16, O Yahweh, our Abba, all that is in store, all of the abundance of wealth, everything we have, that we have prepared to build your bayat for your Kadosh name comes of your hand. Everything that we're using, this house that we build, this city, this spiritual storehouse that we are, Yah has made us. And we're not ourselves. He says, so everything we use to build this excellent place of splendor for you has come from your hand. You made it all. You have given it. And all is of your own. He says in verse 17, I yada, I know also. I know, I have learned, I have perceived also, Yahweh,
my Abba, that you try the love and you have pleasure in the uprightness or the yoshia, the uprightness. As for me, in the yoshia of my love, he said, I have willingly. It's a free will. It's a not up. I have free will offered. All these things. And now have I seen the joy of your people. Now that is what that offering does when one truly offers unto the Yah. If there's an offering in this buyer unto Yah, you begin to see the joy of the people. Because you all don't offer. We don't know how to. We don't. Yadaya. There's no willingness. He says, I've seen the joy of all of your people, which are present here to offer willingly to you. O Yahweh, sovereign ruler of Abraham, Yishrak and Yisrael, our Avat. He said, keep this forever. In the imagination, the yesa, the thoughts, the conscience of the thoughts of the Levim of your people. Let them be reminded of this and understand what has transpired. He said, and prepare, kun their love, prepare their love to you, prepare them for you, Yah. And he speaks a word that is so profound here in verse 19. He says, and give unto Solomon, my son, a perfect, a Sholem, a perfect, complete, one that is of covenant understanding, understand the Torah of Yah, a perfect love. For what reason? When a man works in the perfect Torah of Yah, when he walks in the Sholem of Yah, his love, it says, to keep your mitzvah, your commandments, your aduth, your testimonies, and your huk, your statutes, to do all these things and to build the palace for the which I have made provision. That Solomon may walk in the perfect love, Sholem. And that perfect love, that conscience, a man with his conscience is not one that's pakor, one that stumbles. It is one that it walks in the Torah of Yah, in the testimony of Yahshua, in the power and the knowledge of that testimony. And they are confined by the statutes, the limitations of Yah. Everything that Yahweh does is their limitations. He gives us limitations on what to look at and not to look. If a man looks at a woman, lusts for her in his own heart, he has committed adultery. So he gives a limitation on that. How much to eat, how to live, how to treat each other. Hallelujah to that as well. Amen, amen. He teaches us all his limitations. Everything in life is limitations. Everything. Tell me what the world doesn't limit you in. It limits you what you can buy in the grocery store. You got $100 spent on a family of three. You're not going in there and buy no $22 chicken. Rotisserie. You buy stuff that is affordable. So everything in life is with limits. The statutes. You go to a community that is gated. You ask these brothers. Brother James, Brother Deacon Horn, they can tell you. Brother Dolphus. They stop you at the gate and say, I don't even like to look at that truck. It's clean. This one, now, that doesn't look too well. Who are you coming to see? What are you doing in here? All right. Get your tag number down. Oh, that's what they do. Get your tag number. Let me see your driver's license. What house are you going to? The time, what are you going to do? Of course, those communities, they have cameras and everything in there. You don't see them. They got cameras and everything. They know where you are. So then the world has statutes and limitations. So does Yah. What? Nobody's watching me, but his melach is, his melachim, if you're a Siddiq. For the melach of Yah is encamped about the bayit of the Siddiq, of the righteous. You're wicked. He's watching you too. He sees everything you do. Hallelujah. And so give unto Solomon this Sholem heart, this conscience that is pure, that understand the covenant relationship that I've established with your Avat, with Yisrael. That they may know that I'm the one that prevails against their enemies. It's not by your numbers or numerics. It is by the power of my word that you prevail. That's how we have victory. It's not by how circumstance presents themselves to us. It's by our confidence and reliance upon the word of Yah. And you can have faith. You can delight in Yahshua all the day long. In trials, tribulation, in every circumstance, in affliction, you can rejoice. when you're buffeted, when you're tried, when you're ostracized, especially when you suffer for the sake of the kingdom, you suffer because you're wicked and hard-headed and stubborn, you got your reward too. For of course we're wicked and we're hard-headed, we think we're suffering for the sake of the kingdom, and we're not. We're suffering because of our stubbornness and our wickedness, our unbridled lust. That's why we're suffering. That's why we have not progressed ahead. How do you know that? Because the pattern is in the book. Israel obeyed Yah, they progress. When they walk defiance of the Yah, he would kill them in the wilderness and destroy them. Give them onto the slave ship of the Babylonians, the ruler of the oppressors, the Philistines. That's what he did. We allowed this Babylon world to oppress us, suppress us. That's not of Yah. The circumstances, their mandates, we fall subjected unto that. I will not. I don't care about no $2,600 electric bill. We don't have it. Turn it off. Hallelujah. You're not going to die. The whole world live without electricity. That's why the food supply, whether you believe it or not, China has 1.6 billion people. And India is not a shot behind them. They're buying up everything. There was a fertilizer we used to get here. It was an organic fertilizer you could get. It came down from Argentina. And you could get it here pretty cheap here. You cannot even find it here. You can't even buy it. Why? Because China buys it all. They say we want every drop of it. They'll give the Americans one drop. Why? Because we got 1.6 billion mouths to feed. 300 million people? You calculate it. They buy every drop. Price of steel, why do you think it's going up? Because we're building here. Housing market is down. They're building in China and India. They're building. They don't mind making $6,000 a year. You see, they don't worry about having vehicles like us. They sleep on the floor. They use the service that they catch buses whereby there are 50 folks in the bus that ride 25. They're not like us. Or they go home, they roll out a mat, and they sleep. They sit down and they die and they're happy. We're the most miserable, most sickly people upon the face of the earth. We can't have enough because we're not satisfied. We're unappreciative. And so everything is going to China and India, whether you believe that or not. It's going to China and India. India has about 1.3 billion folks. In countries like Pakistan, 700 million people. You understand, they're not little small entities. They want their biofuel. And so they say we can make more money with biofuel than we can selling a bushel of corn for someone to make some bread. That's how the rich man thinks, whether you all believe that or not. That's why we should be so ever careful with even the gardens and the things. You sisters walk around here doing nothing. You don't have to have someone to tell you to go get the plums. You ought to just go pick them up. We're lazy generation, lazy as hell. I know it's right. When I do something, I do it. I roll. That's a fact. I like to get it done. I like to procrastinate. I like to get it done. I look at the job and say, take me 3 hours to do that. Come on, let's roll. Let's roll, brothers. I don't slack with the brothers. I may tell them, hold on, Brother Pat, I got to go check on something. I'll be back. You're handling that. And that's the way it is. And so we take for granted, we walk around the beds, we see the tomatoes, you don't want to just even stop and pull some weeds up. That's sad. But today is coming, Israel. I'm telling you that. Whether you believe that or not? That's a fact. That's a fact. The plums. I had the little children. I said, you all, see, we don't even think like that. Your little children, go get the plums. If nothing else, give them to the animals. Do that for me. Because you'll walk past some trees every day. You will not even bend over for nothing. You won't even bend over to throw one over there. You're quiet. That's why I know I'm telling the truth. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. This is something when a parent would say, you did that, boy. When he got quiet, she knew. That's why they could discern. They knew when you were wrong. You didn't have to tell them. And that's where we are. You walk past the tree, you're not going to bend over because your gut is too big. You can't even bend over and pick up the plum. You won't even throw it over the fence. Yeah. I said to those little boys, Abby, y'all come here. Who is that? Josiah and Aharon. Get over there, boys. Because they enjoy just picking up all the apples, throwing them over there. The cow, they'll eat them. They ate them. Sure they did. Every last one of them. It's a dismal shame, the attitude of the people in this country. That's why it's going to be much exact upon us. It is. Hallelujah.
They don't have no cool rooms and no air conditioned office or nothing like that. It won't be that. And that's a fact. This gas thing, just wait till it rises on up. Just wait. It's going up. I was reading Mr. Omar yesterday, the president of OPEC. He said, if anything, if America, Iran, or Israel, that land over there, the Zionists, that's what they are. That land that we call Israel, if they go into Iran, he said, the gas prices are going to go unlimitless. And now, even as I read this morning, folks are looking to buy wood-burning stove because it's going to cost, they're talking about $5 a gallon. Do you all hear me? When I was up there, Pastor Pennington back then, the woman cost her $300 a week just to heat her house. And she didn't have the heat blasting out either. Just to kind of keep the chill off. That was back then. What is it going to cost her? This is going to cost her $500 a week. How does an old person get $600 a month? Put enough oil in her tank to keep the house warm. So folks are looking for wood-burning stoves. And the most folks don't even know how to cut a tree down. Where are they going to get wood from? They're not going to let you clear the fields out there in California. That's why it burns like a tinderbox all the time now. How stupid they are. Going to hurt some little bug. That's how ignorant this society is. Yeah, I intended for man. He intended for him to use a little fire to stay warm. Because of our wickedness and because of our greed, that's why the balance of the earth is off now. That's why diseases overtake the plants. It wasn't that way. Because of the wickedness of man. Because of the wickedness. You sow wickedness, you reap wickedness. You sow corruption, we see it everywhere. I don't care what you do. We get the tomato seeds. Come on. Because they, by the hands of corrupt men, they only have one purpose, making a dollar. Then you see the corruption in the seeds. That's what they lay their wicked hands on it. You get it from them. You see the corruption there. We better get real and serious and understand. That's for real. You know, they didn't have to go to the Philistines to buy food. Yah rained down food for them. Now he's given us the food of life, the bread of life, Yahshua. That we must be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. And do the things that we need to do. Quit always wanting to sleep and lay around. Do nothing. The sun is the blessed thing. Get in the sun. Sweat a little bit. Get the poison out of you. You will feel so lazy. It's a problem. Quiet, huh? That's all right. I'm not afraid of you. That's a fact. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In verse 20, and thy weeds said to all the congregation, now Barak Yah, your Abba. And all the congregation Barak, they blessed Yahweh, the sovereign ruler of the Avat. And they bowed down their heads and they shakha. They worshiped Yah and they honored the Melech. They honored David. They showed a great reverence of his wisdom, his wise tenet to come before Yah and to bring unto him that which is appropriate. Let me read this before I close in the Hanak and Enoch. It says this, in those days, the elect one, Yahshua, shall sit on my throne. And from the conscience of his mouth shall come out all the secrets of wisdom. For Yahweh of hosts has given them to him and magnified him. In those days mountains shall dance like rams, and the hills shall leap like kids satisfied with milk. And the faces of all the Melechim of heaven shall glow with joy because of the day of the elect one has arisen, the coming, the kingdom of Yahshua. And the earth shall rejoice, and the Sodiq ones shall dwell upon her, and the elect ones shall walk upon the earth. For the kingdom of Yahweh is near than when we first believe. It's our own conscience that caused us to stumble at the things of Yah, that we will not obey him and do what he commands us. We find reason within our own corrupt life not to do what he commands us. The prayer that we give Solomon, a perfect, a sholem, a heart that Yada understands the covenant of Yah, his truth, Emet, the power of Torah, that he may know how to instruct Israel to come before Yah and bring the offering that is acceptable unto Yah, for all things belong to Yah, even your breath of your life. It belongs to you. May Yah Barak Israel, may He strengthen us all. May He help us all that we may grow in the strength. Toda Yah. Bless all you that are listening, a large crowd today for us. The house will be full. May He strengthen you all. May He cause your life to be courage, encourage. May He bless you. May Yah barak you, our listeners, our friends. May He bless you. Yah barak you, may He strengthen us all. Come on, singers. Come on, Brother Patrick. Yah barak you, let us stand to our feet. Bless you all that are listening by the live stream. We barak you all. May the blessings of Yah shower upon you all. Have a great Shabbat. Hallelujah. Barak us all today. Let me say that. I do want to say that. We want to extend the tabernacle. I was hoping that we could have it done by tabernacle. I don't know if we will. We want to make it larger so we have room for the choirs, the singing, and the brothers, the instruments. It's just, I know it's not that many of us, but we need more room here. So Yah's will, you'll pray about that. We have the funds to do that. We can set things up in a way that will be accommodating. So Yah, bless you all. Bless you all that are listening, everyone. We look forward to seeing you all, Lord, next Shabbat. In all things, Yah, we barak you in Yahshua's name. Go to Israel, protect them. Those on the road safely, those that are listening by the live stream, just barak them all, I pray. We ask your blessings upon Israel. Yahshua's mighty name. Israel cried, hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.